his absence, Pastor Maurice Hicks and his beautiful wife, Pastor Cecilia Hicks, for being there. And I praise God for them opening up their doors and listening to, and not just listening to, when God called them out to start a church, but they opened up their doors and said, this is where we're going to begin. And most churches are birthed sometimes in a home, in a basement, in a den. And I praise God for that. I thank God for everyone that showed up today, my family, my son-in-law, my daughter, my grandchildren, and even those that I text, you know, smiling faces, Brother Antonio Kirkland, praise God for you. And Sister Margie Ramsey, praise God for you. Pastor Elbeacher Davis, praise God for you. And my friend, Sister Lorraine Island, praise God for you. I'm so glad that all of you are coming to the house of the Lord, you know, just to hear from heaven. Because you're not going to hear from me, but you're going to hear from heaven. And I praise and I thank God for that. And everyone by way of telecommunication, the conference, praise God for you. And I hope that you will be entreated and delighted in the Lord. Father, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you for all of your loving kindness and the multitudes of your tender mercies. I thank you, Father, for your everlasting life, for peace that surpasses all man understanding. I thank you, Father, for grace. And most of all, I thank you for eternal life, because, Lord God, that is our hope in you. I ask you, Lord God, that you would put Beverly to the side and let your word come forward. Let those that hear your words not be just a hearer but also a doer. I ask you, Lord God, to help us to walk in faith and in strength. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to put on Front Street here. I had asked my daughter to sing a song for me, and she kind of backed out of that, but that's okay. That's okay. God is good anyway. Now, because I'm not a singer, but this song just came to my mind when Pastor Hicks, he started out with a message a couple of Sundays ago, and I praise God for the message because it was called Your Secret Weapon. Now, I had a couple of young people that were here during that time frame when he was speaking about Your Secret Weapon. So, Junior, what's your secret weapon?
Holy Ghost.
Okay. What's your secret weapon, Tasia?
The Holy Ghost.
That secret weapon. And he talked a little bit, and I'm just going to touch on, because everything has been lining up. And he talked about the speaking in tongues, and that's your secret weapon, and that's one of the signs that when you receive the Holy Ghost, that's one of the signs to let you know that you've received the Holy Ghost. And the speaking in tongue is your prayer language that God has personally given to you, because the enemy cannot understand what you're saying. So it's important that if you haven't acquired that secret lesson, that secret weapon, it's time to go and start seeking God for it. Then our precious, there's Pastor Cecilia, okay, she's here, and nephew, he's here. Praise God. He's coming? Okay, praise God. And Sister Cecilia, she came through on the 10th, and she talked about developing the mind of Christ. And she touched on a lot of special things when she talked about developing the mind of Christ, that she said that at birth, your body and soul is alive, and conception is spiritual. And he said, everything, there is a beginning, and it begins with a thought. She came through with some benefits as developing your mind. It said, once you develop your mind, you get deeper love for God. You seek greater knowledge. You see greater knowledge. You have better judgment. When things affect you in your life, you get clear discernment. And these are just a few. I'm just touching on such as just a few things that she talked about, but when she taught, it was awesome. So we're going to get into what I'm getting ready to talk about. And before I do that, Brother Demetrius, he came through last week, praise God, and he touched our spirit. But there's one thing that stuck out with me when he talked, and he talked about his weight. And he said that he was overweight, and he said that he had a pain in his knee because of the weight, and he decided to do something about it. That was to make a change. So he decided to go to start changing his diet and eating differently. He said it took about a year, but he said he went from what to what?
Well, I lost 30 pounds, so I went from 200 to now I'm around 170.
Praise God. And see, that's perseverance. That means that this is something that he saw, something that he needed to do. And he went ahead and he went forth and he did it. Now, the natural man, he wants to enhance the body. And how do they want to enhance it? By eating, dieting, and exercise. Now, back in 1916, the USDA, they issued out food guidelines. And it was known as the basic food group. Now, the basic food group consists of meat, dairy, that's your milk and cheese, fruit, and grain. Okay, when I was a youth, young child in elementary school, we had milk that was given out to us. We had to give them a dime, and every day for a week, you get a carton of milk. That was something that was instituted. We called it milk money. We got a little dime. We could give them the little dime. You put your little name on the little list, and when it came around with the little crate, you got your little carton of milk. But that was something that was instituted back then to help the young kids out that were, you know, coming to school hungry or didn't, you know, have breakfast at home or, you know, to help with nutrition. But it was a good idea. And I don't know if it's still going on today, but that was a good idea. But in 1992, the Physical Committee for Responsible Medicine, they had several studies. And they came to the conclusion that animal products caused degenerative diseases such as heart attacks, strokes, cancer. So the basic food group was changed. They changed it to whole grain, vegetables, fruit, and beans, peas, lentil, soy. In that, you don't hear anything about meat. Because it was put out there that meat caused disease. And we know that in the scriptures, when God created the heavens and the earth, in the beginning, he said that everything in the garden, all the fruits and the vegetables in the garden, except for those two trees right there, you can eat. But man in his wild imagination, and we know the downfall of man and what took place, that Adam did eat, that caused a change in the whole atmosphere of life. Whereas man, now imagination became a little wild, a little different, and now they looked at, well, I can eat chicken, I can eat beef, I can eat alligator tail, I can eat snail, clams, you know, and get these little wild birds up here in the air, the polar things. They decided, I can eat those. And even the little squirrels don't have a chance. They have a meal for them, too. So what we're going to do today, we're going to start by developing the spiritual man. Developing the spiritual man. So let's weigh in. Going to weigh in. Okay. We have two defined Christians. One, are you an overweight Christian or are you an underweight Christian? An underweight Christian listens to the word of God but never change. They allow the pastor, minister, teachers, spoon feed them. So they're physically deformed because they don't pick up the Bible or read it themselves and don't study. And overweight Christians hear the word, but they never partake in building the kingdom of God. They study, they go to Bible study, and they can quote the scriptures, but they don't partake in building the kingdom of God. Now, what do we need to do for this underweight Christian and this overweight Christian? There are several things that need to be done. And Demetrius, can you give me 2 Timothy 15? You can go along with me on your Bibles or tablets or whatever you have. So we're weighing in right now. And 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So right there, the scriptures tell you that you need to study. Now, you can go, you know, to the services, and we can say what the pastor said, or what the deacon said, or what the teacher said, the minister said, but the word of God tell us. So when you study, now let's go back to school a little bit. When you get ready to take a test in school, or even not even taking a test, but most of the time that's when we want to cram in everything that the teacher has given to us and because we weren't paying attention. But if we diligently take our notes and every day just go over the notes that the teacher has given to you, then when that exam comes, you wouldn't have to cram. Because you diligently study. Just so with the word of God. Every day, there should be a time set aside to just take your Bible and just go in and just study that word. Meditate on it. That's what study means, to meditate on the word. By studying the word, you become strong spiritually. Studying the word will give you a couple of things. Would you turn to Isaiah 26 for me, please? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. So we know that studying the word give you peace. He said here, keep you in perfect peace, because if your mind... If you study the word, you know there are scriptures that are out there that will help you stay strong, that will keep you encouraged in Christ, knowing that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. These are just some of the few scriptures that you can use, you know, to help encourage yourself, especially when you see yourself going through a problem or a situation in life. You know, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Glory, hallelujah. It's there for you. It's life itself. And it brings life to your life. So it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Give me Psalms 1 and 2. Now, the book of Psalms, at first book, it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, you can imagine that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. So you can see that the person in the beginning is a little active because they're walking, you know. But after a while, they're standing. Okay. And then they began to sit. So now you in the presence of ungodly counsel, in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful. And when you start sitting in the seat of the scornful, guess what happens to you? What goes in will come out. So scornful, negativity, will come out of you. So you have to decide what you're going to take into your body and who you're going to hang around. Glory, hallelujah. But his delight. So the study in the word brings about delight. It gives you delight. So now you have peace, and now you have delight. And delight. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he what? Oh, glory, hallelujah. You do what? Then he said you fall asleep? Take a nap? Eat a snack? Walk up and down the hallways, worried about how this is going to be taken care of, how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. Dad, I got a problem. I need a couple of bucks. But if we meditate and we trust in him, we won't have to probably call Dad. No. Because you meditate on day and night, and say, you would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And what's going to happen? Bring forth fruit. And fruit is, and sometimes we think that fruit is what? Apple or orange? No. When you plant it in the Word of God, when you study and you're in the Word of God, and you plant it in that Word, you're going to bring forth fruit. That means that you're going to have that life, that vitality. Because when that root is in Jesus, it's not in the ground. You're rooted and grounded in the Word. You're rooted and grounded in Jesus. Therefore, you're going to bring forth fruit. You're going to be going to others and telling them about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Glory, hallelujah. And you're going to be telling them, come on, over to this side. You know, enjoy, you know, and feast on the Word of the Lord. So you're going to be, that fruit is how many people? And think about it. I don't want anybody to raise their hand or start counting on their fingers and toes. But lately, just lately, how many people have you actually have witnessed to and brought to Christ? Have you prayed for and they received Christ as their personal Savior? Okay, and I'm saying within the last month, within the last year. Within the last week. So if you don't have any fingers up or any toes, we're in trouble. That means that our fruit is sitting out there waiting for us. Our fruit is out there rotting in sin. So that's something that we need to do. We need to delight. Day and night. So we need to start picking up the Bible, and not just the Bible, commentaries. There's different religious books that are out there that will help to enhance your studying and your reading. But taking the man's word for it, not all you need. And I'm going to share this little story with you, and it's kind of comical to me because my former pastor, he would always say, he would always say this certain scripture. I'm going to say this certain scripture. The just shall live by his faith. And he said it often. Why does he keep saying his faith? That's not in the Bible. That's not there. So I'm listening to him again. I said, Lord, why he keeps saying his faith? So one Thursday night, I'm in Bible study, and he was teaching Bible study. And I said, okay. I wasn't there. I was tuned out, actually. So I opened up my Bible, and I'm opening up to the book of Habakkuk. And that was the scripture. And the just shall live by his faith. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. It is in there. Okay. But God had to show it to me. And it wasn't that, you know, I'm going by what he's saying. But I need to know. You know, so when the word of God, that's why I'm putting this up here. When the word, man of God teach the word, Just don't go run with it and think that that's it. Go study that word. Go back to old school, get your pad and your pencil and start taking notes. Or get your tablet and take notes. Go back and meditate on what he said. Talk about what he said. Don't be one of the type of Christians that study, go to Bible study, and can quote the scriptures, but when it comes to your telling another person, well, what did your pastor preach about? I don't know, but it was good. I can't even remember the scripture that it came from, but it was good. So this is an overweight Christian, then we have the underweight Christian. But it tells us also that it will keep you. If you get 119, Psalms 119, 9 and 10. Now it says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? So that's a question. It said, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With thy whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. It's important. You know, not just young men, but old men, young women, old women, such as myself. You know, we have to cleanse our ways daily. We die daily. You know, we have to strip daily. But how can you strip if you don't know what to strip? How can you take off the old man, you know, if you don't know the word? Because in the word, it will convict you. It'll tell you what you need to do and what you shouldn't be doing. And if you feel like you have to go ask somebody, should I be doing that? Then 9 times out of 10, your Holy Ghost is telling you, don't do that. Okay? Leave it alone. Quit, you know, while you're ahead. Because once you go down that road, and then it doesn't work out for you, then you got to come back to Jesus. And you got to ask him, accept me. I'm sorry. I did what I wanted to do. But I'm coming back. And sometimes that coming back, sometimes it's not easy. It's just like a child that have lied to their parent. I know you're not lying. Because now that trust has been broken. And I don't know if you're telling me the truth or if you're lying. It's one thing I always told my kids. Always tell me the truth. You tell me the truth, someone come to me, I got your back. That's the same thing with God. You be truthful with him. He will always have your back. You be honest with him. Not with me, but be honest with him. Lord, you know I failed you. Lord, you know I messed up. But be honest. Don't be like Adam. Lord, the woman you gave me. Eve, well, that old serpent misguided me. Everybody blaming somebody else. But if once you say, I messed up, Lord, I'm sorry. That's what's important. So, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. As I said before, your spiritual growth. What goes in will come out. So what you need to do now, you need to inspect your spiritual life. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. You got to inspect your spiritual life because your body is the temple of the Lord. Your body, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, do you know that? That you're a temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells. It's not walking with you. It dwells in you. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. If you can get me Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. This was prophesied in the Old Testament, but guess what? It was fulfilled in the New Testament. If you could get me Acts 2. And some of these scriptures that I'm going over, Pastor Maurice is sitting in the background. He spoke on it. Cecilia kind of backed it up. Demetrius kind of backed it up. Okay. We're not done yet. Okay. And when the day of Pentecost will fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You're going to give me two. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Not one, but each of them. Four. And they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, but it came to pass in the New Testament. So inspect your spiritual life. Start taking inventory of yourself. See where you're lacking. What do I need to do? Okay, I've already given you one thing. Study. What you need to do next? Just like this old body on an everyday basis. If we don't start exercising, it's going to go to play out. It will go to play out. And I'll
show it to you.
That's play out. That's what will happen. If you don't exercise, exercise that body, you're going to start getting extra here. Okay, extra here. It comes. And it's not age. It's lack of exercise. Now, age got something to do with it because you get older, you kind of slow down. As you get older, you talk yourself into, I can't do that anymore. And then you stop as you get older. But if you exercise consistently, I got a daughter, she walked the bridges constantly because she has determination that I am going to get this off me. So she's doing something about it. She's eating or drinking her meals. Now she's drinking them. And unfortunately, her daughter, my granddaughter, kind of have to follow in suit. But you know something? For a long time, we've been eating meat. And meat is really not healthy for us. The body wasn't even designed to digest meat. That's why it takes so long for it to digest in the body. So it just sit there for a while. While it's sitting there, you know, the proteins and the fatty tissues and everything is just going all over the place. So we need to not only exercise with the body, but we have to change our habits of what we're eating. And sometimes we may have a very fast metabolism. I know I did when I was young. My son-in-law over there, he has one. Christopher has one. They eat everything. Don't seem like they gain weight. But eventually, it can catch up with you. And when it does, that's when you have to go back and start the exercising and the body. But we also have to exercise the spirit. Just like the body need exercise, the spirit need exercise. And we're going to go to 1 Timothy 4, chapter 8th verse. For bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. All things. Not some, but all. Having promise of the life that now is. It's saying having the promise of what? The life that that's today. That's you today. And of that which is to come. So spiritual exercise is more important. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And we all know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what have what? Have what? Okay, everlasting life. So everlasting life means forever. That's that new glorified body that he's going to give you in that new life. But bodily exercise, it does profit, because if you're going to go out there and you're going to witness and you're going to go out there and talk to people, you need to be in shape, very much in shape. I recall going out, and we were going to these apartments, 2-3 floors, going up the steps in the month of June, July, August. And there were times when I wanted to say, can I come in and sit down? Can you give me some water? Because it was hot and I was tired going up those steps. But guess what? We persevered and we did it. No, I didn't ask for the water. I just waited and got some later. But if I was in physical shape, I could have ran up those steps, said what I had to say, prayed with the person they needed prayer, ran down the steps, go to the next building, run up the steps again, you know, and have it done, what, in an hour or so? But we're out there how many hours? 2-3 hours. Doing that work. But you know something? It felt good. Just to be able to go out there and to see your limitations of what your body can do and what your body wasn't capable of doing. Then you have to say, wow, I need to get in shape. I need to get in physical, get my body in shape, because I want to be effective in every area for God. He can't use me if I can't get around, if I can't be mobile, if I go from this podium to that seat over there, which is about 5 steps, and say, "Woo, that was hard." Now I can understand that sometimes we do have conditions that can put us in a situation where, as we get out of breath, you know, quickly. But we need to trust in God and say, "Lord, this is what I want to do," and you know, I can attest to my sister over here, Sister Elvedra. She's very, very, very just faithful in God. Bless you in God. And we know her condition. But you know something? It doesn't stop her. She has a passion for souls. I mean a burning, burning passion for souls. And she going, if you don't go. She went to the rescue mission by herself. She was the choir. She was the preacher. She was the person that prayed. She was everything. She went. You don't go, I'm going anyways. But this is that perseverance because of the passion that she has for souls. So if you see yourself in that situation where you think that your passion has burned out, then we need to start exercising unto godliness. Okay? Because this outside shell that we dress up daily, we wash, try to clean it, put on the best clothes, fix our hair, cut it, shave, and all this stuff that we know we dress up to make ourselves look good. But guess what? you're going back to the dust. This body going back to where it come from. After the fall of man, God told Adam, in the sweat of thy face, and this is in Genesis 3:19, face shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So this body is going back, but that spiritual man, that's the important part of us, that's the part that's going to be standing before the Lord. That's the part when he going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into your rest, or cast you to that other place. You know, but both of them is eternal. Which way do you want to go? How do we exercise unto godliness? Praying and giving time to God. Okay, I talked about Pastor Hicks. He talked about our secret weapon, the Holy Ghost. The indwelling spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. Praying, which is most important. Because praying is your communication with God. Ephesians 6 and 18. Get that for me. Ephesians 6. Praying is very important. Like I said, it's your communication with God. 6 and 18. That was good. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay. That was good. Did you see that? I'm trying to. Did you see that, Taja? Okay. Okay. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto. So you're not only just pray, but you got to watch. Many times people think that they have to be on their knees with their head bowed down and praying, but you don't have to. You can pray driving to work, praying as you're jogging, you're working out, and you're praying as you're cooking. Even praying as you working. See, a word, just word of prayer. That's between you and your Father. But it says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That means that we're not just praying for ourselves. Prayer is not just for us. My, me, I want. You know, it said praying for all saints. That means that we should be praying for one another, each other. And sometimes we don't know what to pray for, but that's when that Holy Ghost kicks in. It kicks in, and all you could may see a face that make a vision. And all you need to do is just start praying. You don't need to know what's going on. All you need to do is pray. When you get up in the morning, or in the middle of the night, or early in the morning, I'm saying like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and you can't go back to sleep, don't go get a snack. Don't do it. Don't go get a snack. It's not snack time. It's praying time. It's time for you to go on your knees and just, Lord, I don't know why, but somebody's out there that may need a word of prayer. Someone could be attacked or in the area where someone may get ready to attack them. We don't know. So just pray. You know, well, I don't know what's going on with them. You don't need to know. God knows. And all you need to do is pray. And then when you start praying in your language, you don't know what you're saying anyways, because you're talking to the Father. And the Father already knows that you're interceding for someone else. So you're praying for others. You're praying for them. And when you start praying for other people, you forget about your problems. You forget about what you've gone through. You forget about all those little bitty things because your mind is on someone else. And it tells us to do these things. Pray for all saints. That's with perseverance, with supplication, and watching, as well as pray. We need to pray for our nation. You know, we see what's going on in this nation. But not just in this nation. You see what's going on in the world. You know, if it's not France, it's Italy, it's Spain, it's Greece. Something is always happening. And just pray. And if you don't know what to pray, say, let thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Because if we pray that prayer, we know what's in heaven. There's order. There's peace. There's worship. There's love. So if we ask for that, for this to come on this earth, then we've covered all our bases. Everything. And we sometimes, well, what are we going to pray about? Oh, we're going to pray about what president is going to be elected because of. No. Regardless of who's going to be put in place, what's going to happen, going to happen. All we need to do is pray for that individual that they make the right decisions because we have to live on this earth too. Believe that he will answer. The word of God says, ask and it shall be given. It says, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. So you have to believe in what you're asking for. Now, I'm not telling you to, Lord, I need that $1 million. I'm believing you for it. I'm believing you for it. I'm believing you for it. You know, because I remember Solomon. He asked for wisdom. But God gave him what? All, not just wisdom, but wealth. Health. Gave him everything that he needed. And he just asked, help me. I'm young, and I just need wisdom to make the right decision in this life. And God not only gave him wisdom, but no one or no man has exceeded that wisdom and has gave him wealth that I don't believe, even I don't think Donald Trump was as rich as he was. Not Solomon. He was a very rich king. Encourage yourself by quoting promise scriptures. You know, there are little books out there that have promise scriptures. Invest in one. They have little topics. Promises on marriage. Promises on wives. Promises on children. And we need to start speaking those things. You know, because when we start speaking it into the atmosphere, guess what's going to happen? It's going to come back. But if we gloom and defeat. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's not going to work. Well, guess what? This is what you are putting into the atmosphere. So this is what's going to return. So when you speak, you're going to speak positive things. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. All things. Not just say some things. You know, it tells us that all scriptures is given by inspiration of God. So it's very important that we take the word and like he told and said, eat the whole roll. Eat the whole roll. Now, it may start sweet, but then it starts turning bitter. And that's for a reason. Because it starts, then you see yourself. You're looking in the mirror. At you. And when you can start working on you, then you can start helping somebody else. But it starts with you. Are you praying? Are you fasting? Turning down your plate. Then I'm not going to eat this today. Food's not important to me. I eat. Sometimes I don't. But I like to flip through the channels of the TV. That's, I got to fast from that, from just sitting there, resting, and I flip through the channels. I don't look at anything long because I hate commercials. So I have about two different stations. I flip to that one and I flip to that one. I'm looking at two different things at the same time. But there are times when I sit there and I'm not really looking at either one. And I'm praying. And sometimes I'll just click the TV off and I'll go on my knees and I'll go into prayer. Now, Christopher may not see that part of it. He just see me sitting there. Then he go come through and he zip back through. He may zip back through again. He sits, still see me sitting there, but he don't know. Between the time, you know, went back and forth, I don't get on my knees. I'm in prayer and I'm up. But prayer is vital. It's important. I said encourage yourself by quoting scriptures. That's your strength. You're quoting those scriptures. It feeds the mind. You know, every day, learning the scripture. We're going through the book of Isaiah, 66 books, and everyone have to take a chapter and just, you know, do an exhortation on it, 5-10 minutes, that's about it. But explain what's going on in that book. So we got a year. We're going to be going through the book of Isaiah. And, you know, I told Christopher, get ready because you may get called on again. So, but start working for the kingdom of God. And I don't mean church work. You know, ushering, that's good. Greeting, that's good. Choir, that's good. Taking up the collection, that's good. You know, but that's church work. We're talking about kingdom work. Kingdom work is visiting the sick, the prisons, the homeless. You know, it's going over to someone's house, being that missionary. If I bought you some food. Let me clean up your kitchen. Don't ask, do you need anything done? Don't even ask. You see it, it's a mess. Just start washing the dishes, sweep the floor, and then go home. And that's it. But this is kingdom work because you visiting someone and they needed help. I recall when I was in South Carolina and I had my fourth child. Now, Sister Beverly, this type of person. My kids stay with me. So after I had the fourth child, the baby, Jessica, Sister Lee, she said, I'm going to take your kids. I said, okay, because I had to go in the hospital to have this baby. And I went in the hospital, stayed there about 3-4 days, that's how long you stayed back then. Came home, called her on the phone. I said, bring me my kids. She said, are you sure? I said, yes, bring me my kids. Now, Jessica, Tiffany was only 14 months when Jessica was born. Frankie was just 2, and Loretta had just turned 5. Okay. But I'm asking for my kids. I need them to come back home because I want my kids around me. It took me 3 days. My head stopped pounding. I couldn't lay down. It pounded. And a sister came over to the house, just out of the blue. And she said, I'm coming over to just check on you. And I said, I got this real bad headache. And I said, I can't get rid of it. I can't lay down. She said, I'm taking you to the emergency room. She called her son, had him to come over to watch the kids. And when I got to the hospital, they read my blood pressure. And they said, ma'am, do you have anyone to be in the house with you? I said, no. Because my ex-husband was out to sea. He said, you need to get somebody to come in the house with you. My blood pressure was sky high. I couldn't even lay down. I had to sit up and sleep. And they went ahead. They were able to get it lowered. But I called my mom. Bless her heart. She takes the bus. She don't fly. But she got there. And at the same time, my mother-in-law came. My sister-in-law came. And my husband came back from out to sea. Now the house is too crowded. But they had taken the kids And sister said, I said I didn't want to give them to you, but you wanted your kids. So they took the kids away, you know, at that time because I couldn't handle it. It was too much. But that's where, you know, I that was me. So someone came. If she hadn't came, I don't know what would have happened. But the Lord dropped into her spirit. Stop by there. And another time she stopped by, and she just started washing dishes, sweeping the floor, and just taking care of things. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Because sometimes it gets overwhelming. You know, when you have children, it gets overwhelming. And I thank God for that. So kingdom work. Okay. Like I said, choir is good, nursery is good, reading is good, hospitality is good, work in the nursery is good. But when you're teaching those young children, that's even better. Because you have to study so that you can teach them. When you become that faithful teacher or instructor, when you're able to impart the word to someone, just like this opportunity right now, you know, it's something that's in you that God wants to use you. And having that platform to be able to be used, it's a blessing. It is a blessing. We can have all the titles in the world, but titles don't mean anything if you're not using what God has placed in you. If you are an overweight Christian, start working for the kingdom of God. If you're an underweight Christian, you have to start with the basic. Be not just a hearer of the word. If I say the underweight Christian, they just hear the word. But also be a doer of the word. I mean, let's put it into action. Let's take this word and just let's put it into action. Let it work for you. Now, on the conclusion of my message, we've gone over a couple of things. And that is the underweight Christian, the overweight Christian, and the things that we need to do to make ourselves just that Christian for the kingdom of God. And that is to study, to exercise, and to pray. And in my closing, I would want to just ask, is there anyone here today that have not received Christ as their personal Savior, and there's a tug in your spirit, and you want the Lord, you know, to come into your life, and you need Christ. Is there anyone here today that just want a little prayer, a word of prayer, something going on in your life? You know, we have the pastors that are here. They are available to pray for you and with you. If not, I'm going to turn this into the hands of our pastor, Pastor Maurice Hicks.